Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we discover what real joy looks like in the exciting book of Philippians. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. We have been for some time now, a couple weeks, in the book of Philippians. Philippi was the very first place to which the Apostle Paul went on that second missionary journey in the continent of Europe. So I don't think, John, you were here for some of those initial podcasts on the book of Philippians, but what a thought that if it weren't for this missionary endeavor, we wouldn't be sitting here.
Yeah, I praise God for the Apostle Paul and what God used him to do.
Yeah, going to, his stated philosophy was to go to places that had not yet heard the gospel. And God doesn't call everyone to do that. He didn't want to build on another man's foundation. Now, the simple fact of the matter is most of us do. You know, I pastor a church now that was started by another great and godly man. I'm so grateful for him. So in that sense, I'm building on another man's foundation. But God calls some to go to places that have never heard, to plant churches in places that have never had one. And I'm grateful for that pioneer, evangelistic, apostolic spirit.
Yeah, Paul was a great pioneer. It's a great word for him. And he had a great desire to go out and preach the good news.
In Philippians 2, I promised you last episode that we would talk about two positive examples of like-mindedness and sacrifice for others. We've already talked about the best example, the Lord Jesus, but I think sometimes human examples have their place too, because after all, we're not God. We have failures and sins, and we have a past sometimes that we regret and we have to get forgiveness for. And so I think sometimes it helps us to relate to know that there are people in the Bible that struggled as we, but whom God used.
It is important that we have heroes in life. Heroes in the Bible, we can look at different people that had their faults and foibles, that God used them. And it shows us that God remembers our frame, that we are but dust, but yet God can work through us if we will yield to him and follow him.
Yeah, there's two schools of thought on that. One is, well, you know, you can't ever look to man, but that's a proud statement too, because what you're saying is don't ever look to man. What you're saying, so listen to me when I say don't ever listen to people. So
yes.
I mean, it's really disingenuous. And the Bible does say, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example. So God yes. tells us to look at examples, both positive and negative. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul does here in Philippians 2, 19. But I trust in the Lord, Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. What, you know, if you were just to read those verses outside of the context of what we've already studied, you'd say, okay, you know, Paul trusts this guy. He expects the Philippians to trust him. He's sending him to give some information, and okay, good. But when you understand the context, what you see here is Timothy is the model of everything Paul has just instructed the Philippians to be.
And Paul wants them, you know, to know that he cares about them. Timothy cares about them. And Timothy is a like-minded individual. He is walking unified with the people that he is with, and he can be an example to them.
So let's be clear then. So when the Apostle Paul said like-minded, he was talking about Paul and Timothy were motivated by the same thing. They had the same mindset, which, as we have learned, is the mindset of Christ.
Right.
So the mindset of Christ is, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So the mindset of Christ was an others focus, which sometimes involves personal sacrifice. Sometimes it involves being misunderstood in the moment. Sometimes it involves years and years and years of investment with no seeming reward. So all the things we talked about, well, watch how Paul says it here. I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. So a like-minded, Paul said, people that think like me are people that care for other people. That's part of their DNA, and they naturally do that. But now look at verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. See how it all comes full circle? So people that don't think like me are people that just want to serve themselves, do their own thing. And that's not the way Jesus did it. That's not the way we do it. And Timothy is the only guy I know that I could send and trust that's going to put you first like Jesus would.
It reminds me of Paul's admonition to them back in verse 4. You know, look not every man on his own things, but every man also in the things of others. And he just comes now to Timothy back in verse 21 and says, for all seek their own. It is human nature to seek your own. But Timothy, because he does love Christ, he's been changed by Christ, he's walking in the Spirit, he does have the same mind that Paul has. Timothy does have a sincere interest in the people that he works with. He is sincerely interested in them. It is so easy sometimes to flatter people and try to butter them up for our own purposes. But Timothy and Paul both had a genuine interest in people they worked with. They wanted to touch their lives that those people might be able to serve Christ better.
How are those discipleship relationships forged? Because here is the great Apostle Paul, perhaps the greatest Christian who ever lived. That would be my opinion. And he says about Timothy, this guy's just like me. He's like like a son with the father. And he says to the Philippians, and you know this. You know the proof of him. I don't have to say this. You know it. You've seen it in real time, real life. This is how are those relationships forged?
Yeah, they take time and a lot of it.
And I would say the same way the relationship that Jesus had with his disciples. Mark 3:14, I think it is. Check me on that if you want, but it's that Jesus chose from among many followers 12 apostles, and I think the operative words there are to be with him. So true discipleship is with them time. There's just no way to truly disciple somebody, to mentor them the way God wants you to mentor somebody in an hour a week or through some curriculum.
Right, it does take a great investment of time in being with them, talk with them, doing things together. And as you mentioned, Pastor, we see that life of Christ, where Christ spent just a lot of time with 12 men. And even in that group, there were three kind of inner circle. But Christ helped shape those men to be the leaders that they needed to be, except obviously Judas, who went awry. But it does take a great investment.
I love 2 Timothy chapter 3, where we know the Apostle Paul's about to die. He knows he's about to die. He's writing to Timothy, encouraging him about the most important ministry things you can imagine. But then he testifies a bit in the middle of the letter. And here's what he says. Speaking to Timothy, he said, thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. Timothy, you know everything about me. You know why I do what I do. You know how I react to situations. You know the good times and the bad times. You know the victories and the defeats because you were with me. So again, back to the question, how are these relationships forged? And I love your answer, over time, but well-invested time. Time spent serving God together. So Timothy was just a young man. We know that when Paul took him from Lystra, had a saved mom, had a saved grandma, had a dad that didn't know the Lord. And Timothy began to work with the Apostle Paul. Matter of fact, it was Timothy along with Silas and Luke that met the Philippians the first time.
And what an opportunity for Timothy as a young man to travel with Paul. But Paul did see Timothy, this, you know, young man who Paul was his spiritual father. And Paul knew that it was important to train the next generation. So he was investing his life in somebody that could carry on the work that God had called him to do. And that's why in all of our lives, God has given us spheres of influence. And we must be sure that we are intentionally, you know, taking time, intentional time, not just time, however it may come, but intentional time to go out and be with people and invest time with them and to do the work of the ministry with them.
So good. And Timothy is one of those few people in the life of the Apostle Paul that just seemed to be always ready, on call, flexible, available. I think about Timothy, how many times the Apostle Paul sent him here, sent him there, whether it was to go back up and check on the Thessalonian church, how are they doing, whether it was, hey, I need you to stay at Ephesus. You know, there's some things you need to accomplish. The things I already told you to do, hey, stay there and keep on doing it. I see Titus in that vein. Hey, stay in Crete. But then later on, hey, I sent Titus over to Dalmatia or Tychicus or Aristarchus or even Luke to that degree or Mark later on in Paul's life. I think that's what Paul wanted Demas to be and why he was so upset when Demas quit on him and quit on the ministry. And I wonder, who are those people in our local churches anymore? Who are those people that are Johnny on the spot, ready, available? Their schedule doesn't belong to themselves. It belongs to the Lord. I see that true in each one of these cases among young men. And you think about our society today, so many young men have not grown up. And yet these young men, they are ministry-minded, they're ministry-focused, they're ministry-ready, they're ministry-available. They go to dangerous spots, they take marching orders. I mean, it's like they're in the Lord's army, right?
Yeah, they had a heart to serve Christ, and that was their life. Their life was not about career advancement. Their life was not about what can I amass. You know, how many toys can I buy? Their life was about dedicated to the cause of Christ to serve their Savior. They truly were his bondservant.
Yeah, and God give us some young men, some young women today that say, you know, I might have a little bit more discretionary time than others might have, and let me give that to the Lord. You know, instead of just spending all my time on me and all my life on, you know, my playthings or my bucket list, you know, Lord, what would you have me to do? I see that in men like Timothy, who had this spirit of excellence to serve the Lord.
And that is the mentality that God wants people to have. And you're right, Pastor. A lot of times younger people, they don't have families yet. They don't have those kind of things they need to work with. And they have the time to invest their life fully in spending more hours in the work of the Lord.
And you might be out there thinking, you know, I want to be that person, but no one really gives me any credit. Well, that's exactly what Timothy dealt with. He said, no one takes me seriously because I'm just a young man. And Paul said, Timothy, don't let anybody despise your youth. But instead of arguing about it, instead of you trying to defend yourself in some argumentation, just be an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Just live that life. Be a shining example of Christ, and those arguments will go away. You just be on fire, all out, all in for Jesus Christ.
Yeah, undoubtedly, when we are sold out to follow Christ, no matter our age, we're going to have people that will say negative things. And we've all seen it sometimes where a person trusts in Christ, their Savior, and they're full of zeal. And some people that have been Christians for a long time are kind of just on the back burner now. And they say, well, give them time, they'll die out. That's a sad statement. It should be, give them time, they'll be on more fire. And Paul was that kind of man. Timothy was that kind of man. And you're right, Pastor. We need people like that today that say, God, my time is your time. You know, what do you want me to do? I'm willing to do whatever you call me to do.
It's really a little bit of a sad statement for Paul to say, I have no man like-minded. You know, it's a rare breed for people to say, I'm all in, I'm serving God, I'm at the disposal of people that need me to serve. And Timothy was that guy. What an example of Christ. We'll look at one more example tomorrow, right here in chapter 2, an example of sacrifice, of giving oneself, offering oneself for the cause of others and for the cause of Christ. So I hope you'll join us. Thanks for joining us again today. I'm so appreciative of each one of you and your faithfulness to the podcast. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.